Session 163, June 21, 1965, The Early Sessions, Volume 4. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I see that we will have a private session once again. This is to our advantage, and it is also to our advantage when witnesses are present, when those witnesses have the peculiar qualities which are of benefit. There is one small point I wanted to mention this evening, merely for future reference. We have hardly begun any thorough study of the dream universe, and have dealt with it mainly in connection with other discussions. We will, however, discuss it in detail, and we will use dreams from your own notebooks as examples in this study. The dreams that you are accumulating, therefore, will be of great benefit to us, and I have not discussed them in our regular sessions because I prefer to use them as the basis for another body of material. Rob notes, Jane's notebook now contains over 300 dreams, and mine somewhat less. The above information may explain why Seth did not discuss my recent clairvoyant dream, which I mentioned in the 160th session. Seth, what you call suggestion, to return to our present subject matter, is but a projection into the physical universe of data that operates constantly as a basis for and within action. It is basically a psychic manifestation that gives direction to action and to the various manifestations which action may take. Suggestion is therefore one of the characteristics of action. The term suggestion is a poor one, as it operates within your system and within the human personality. The word expectation is a much better term. Nevertheless, expectation is only one phase, for the same kind of inner directive ability is pertinent within all forms of action. What you call suggestion, then, is but a small aspect of a larger directive characteristic that is ever part of action itself. It is indeed in the nature of an impetus, an inner impetus that belongs to action, and not some force separate from action and acting upon it. This impetus is a natural and spontaneous movement that springs from within action itself. It can even be termed the direction or the various spontaneous directions in which action itself moves. These directions are not forced upon action by any laws. They are merely the resultant patterns with which energy expresses itself. You are only familiar, as a rule, with this impetus, for these directions, in rather shallow manners, for the ego prefers not to perceive them. What you term negative suggestions are usually impeding actions, or directions of action which impede the main directive inner flow. They operate, then, in much the same manner as cross-currents, setting up blockages and impeding main energies by dividing them in several diverse directions. It is important that it be understood that suggestion, as you know it, is but the manifestation of inner flows and inner directions. Without the inward flows and directions, it goes without saying that action would indeed involve itself in chaotic disorders, without constructive patterns or materializations. It would instead entangle itself within the power of its own energy and be unable to form any long-lasting patterns or frameworks within which fulfillments and fairly permanent constructions could be formed. When you speak of negative suggestions, you are actually referring to a situation where such cross-currents entangle action within itself and therefore impede the main constructive impetus that unrestricted action allows. Until the energy once again becomes disentangled, action will therefore flow also in the cross-currents, and the main trunk of energy that gives overall integrity and identity to any given unit could therefore be severely threatened. On the part of any human personality, therefore, it is extremely important that methods be learned to let action follow its normal directive bent within the personality. Therefore, avoiding these abortive offshoots that impede main directives and purposes of the unit as a whole. The integration of the whole personality as a psychological unit and as an effective psychic gestalt is obviously dependent upon the free and unimpeded flow of action. Any impediments here can be most threatening to the integrity of the personality itself, for one aspect of the personality would benefit at the expense of the other aspects. A personality itself, as you know, is a gestalt of action, and as such, it is necessary that the flow of action within it follow the overall directives of the entity and the inner self. When, for example, the ego is allowed to apply too tightly and too rigorously its inhibitory functions, then this freedom of actions within the personality is seriously divided and impeded. I suggest your first break. Seth, I will, Joseph, slow down at your request whenever it is more convenient for you. Now, as far as our discussion is concerned, we have in the past mentioned that there are no exact duplicates in any circumstances. There are, however, obviously, patterns which are set up by action, which may be thought of as pathways composed of action through which action then flows. Once such a pathway has been constructed, we have what you may call an action pattern or habit. Therefore, when cross currents of action are constructed, action will continue in those directions unless it is diverted back to other channels. Then the secondary or impeding channel will automatically be closed off. But all action must be withdrawn from it, for as long as the channel remains, then the possibility remains that the impeding action will reoccur. There is indeed no hard and fast rule to tell you which actions are basically impeding actions and which are not, for what may appear an impeding action may indeed turn out to be the burst of a new constructive direction, which may eventually represent a new and stronger pattern of identity and integrity, which will completely refresh the original unit and add to its vitality and strength. The inner self here, through intuitive insight, can usually recognize whether an action is an impeding or a constructive one for the purposes of the personality involved. When an action which appears blatantly as an impeding action may temporarily serve as a constructive one, it may then turn into an impeding action. An illness, as an impeding action, for example, may nevertheless be a constructive action at any given time, in that it may prevent action within the personality from following more destructive actions. When this destructive possibility has passed, however, an illness that is still maintained would therefore become a definite impeding action. For any seemingly impeding action cannot be judged alone, but in the context of the other elements of which any given personality is involved. It is extremely difficult, but it is possible for the human system to close off, for all practical purposes, a channel that has been used for the flow of such an impeding action. The channel may automatically disappear, but the action itself can never be withdrawn. We will discuss what you call suggestion in more practical terms for your practical uses. Nevertheless, it is necessary that its basic nature be understood. The ego simply cannot judge, as a rule, whether an action is a constructive or an impeding one for the personality as a whole. It can judge whether an action is constructive or an impeding one for itself. Upon many occasions, the purposes of the ego coincide with the purposes of the whole personality. But upon many occasions, the purposes of the ego do not coincide with the best purposes of the whole personality. And in such cases, the ego is not equipped to judge except for itself. It can, however, be taught a very valuable function here. The first prerequisite is that the ego understand both the nature of its dependence upon the whole personality and the nature of its peculiar directive abilities in relation with the physical universe. When there is good communication between all areas of the self, and this is a big when, then the judgment of the ego can be trusted to some greater extent. Suggestions given by an individual on any kind of a conscious basis have to be given with the cooperation of the ego. Many suggestions bypass the ego entirely. Suggestion, however, as you think of it, operates both ways. This is not usually understood. Suggestions may come, therefore, from the physical world to act upon the personality. Suggestions may also come from within the personality to act upon the physical environment. You can indeed, to a large measure, train yourself to react to constructive rather than impeding suggestions. This merely means that you will, or may to some extent, choose the direction in which action within you will move. This also implies that some part of the personality does the choosing and is capable of distinguishing a constructive suggestion from an impeding one. And here it is necessary that we discuss more thoroughly the nature or characteristics of constructive suggestions versus impeding ones, for one may turn into the other. No one portion of the personality should be allowed to block the free flow of energy or action. Impeding actions are easily recognized by their effects, psychological or physical, upon the human system. An illness is the result of an impeding action, generally speaking, but there are exceptions to this case as others. There are indeed methods by which the flow of action can be turned back away from the impeding channels, and we will discuss that matter in some detail. I now suggest your break. Seth, again, we will have many sessions indeed, dealing with the gestalt that is the human personality, and at that time, much of this material will fall into place. We are dealing here again merely with the various aspects of action. As personality itself is an action gestalt, within the inner self there is a capsule comprehension of the purposes and intents of the whole personality. These are indeed within the very structure, both psychic and physical, of the personality itself. The ego, on its own, as a separate unit, does not have such data. Although since it is, after all, a portion of the whole self, it does have such information available. But when it acts as a unit, it does not use such information. The information is not closed to it, it simply does not use it. And there are several quite sufficient reasons for this. Reasons that have to do with the necessary apart manner in which the ego, when it operates as a separate unit, views the physical universe. When the personality is well integrated, then, even when it operates as a separate unit, the ego usually fulfills the basic purposes of the personality as a whole. It is the communication between the very areas of the self which is so important here, as in many other matters. It is possible for the ego to realize its position as but one part of the whole personality, while it still behaves in a directive manner toward physical manipulation. This is the ideal circumstance, for when this is the case, then the ego listens to the inner self and then directs its energy outward in a way that is beneficial for the whole gestalt framework. What you call negative suggestions are often judgments of the ego, for suggestions work from the ego to the subconscious as well as it works the other way around. Such suggestions made by the ego can indeed be caught, and positive or constructive suggestions given to replace them. However, automatic responses can also be set up so that the only constructive suggestions are reacted to. In such instances, however, the inner self should be allowed to make the judgment ultimately as to which suggestions are constructive and which are not. There are certain manners that are more advantageous than others in the giving of such suggestions, and we will go into these at another session. We may also indeed begin at least a partial study of the framework of the personality as it is related to action, for such a discussion will follow along well with our material on suggestion. It must be understood that the personality is indeed an action within action, and that it is therefore never stationary. Indeed, suggestions being the directions in which action moves, represent the very impetus that constantly changes the action of any given personality. It goes without saying, once more, that all of these designations imply a separation which does not exist in fact, and which imply definite boundaries which are not present. For all actions merge one into the other, and none are truly independent, and all units merge one into the other, and all boundaries shift, and are arbitrarily chosen. Boundaries are the results of the limitations of perception, for a unit seems to end where perception of it ceases. This has been a most constructive session, and its flow has been unimpeded. I wish you both a fond good evening, and as always, I enjoy our sessions. I feel quite benign this evening and enjoy our solitude. There are, however, other important elements. I bid you good evening. Rob, good night, Seth.